Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and the gospel appointed for today is from St. John's Gospel, the sixth chapter, beginning with the first verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. At the conclusion of the gospel lection, we read, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." The issue of the kingship of our Lord occurs at several critical junctures during the time leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, and the feeding of the 5,000 is one of those occasions. Having eaten of the loaves and the fish, the multitude wanted to make him king. But Jesus rejected their plan and departs alone. When our Lord was questioned by Pontius Pilate, Jesus said to him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate replied to this, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." The kingship which rightly belongs to our Lord exceeds all those of this fallen world, for of his kingdom there is no end. The powers of all earthly kings, presidents, and emperors is limited, and they distribute and use only those resources and powers which the triune God has granted unto them. But our King, Jesus Christ, is very God of very God, and is himself the source of blessing. The most important of his blessings will never pass away, having been provided through his own death and resurrection. The Lord relieves our wants, giving us all that we have, especially the gift of salvation. The feeding of the 5,000 was a clear testimony to the identity and authority of Jesus. In Isaiah 49 we read, "They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights." The power of the Lord is demonstrated when Jesus feeds such a great multitude in the wilderness, when the powers of men could not meet their need. The disciples are powerless to meet the need. 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little," Philip said, while Andrew declared, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" But all the while Jesus knew what he would do. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus declared in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" The feeding of the 5,000 demonstrates before all the authority of the one who says, "Do not worry," for he feeds a multitude by dividing the meal of a child among them. Truly the Lord provides. But the temptation of men, both then and now, is to draw the wrong conclusion. The crowd wanted to make Jesus king, not because he is God incarnate, but because he fed them. Today there are many who judge the merits and worthiness of Christianity by the benefits it brings to society. Such confusion utterly fails to understand the Lord and his church, for the life of the church is eternal in Christ Jesus, and the church lives because of Christ. As our Lord departed when the crowd desired to make him king, so the church should flee when men desire the church to descend to the level of faith-based initiatives, social gospel projects, and all those works which draw the praise of men. Now please understand me. The church will feed the poor, for our Lord fed the multitude. The church will support hospitals, for our Lord healed the sick. Jesus tells us that when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And Jesus says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. When we do such things for the least of the Lord's brethren, his word tells us, we did it for him. But this is precisely the point. We do such things not because we seek to prove our value or merit to the world, but as the faithful response to that which the Lord has already given to us. The world would gladly have followed Jesus when he fed the 5,000. Here was the kind of king that men want. We've all heard the pleas of the politicians as they run for their offices, making all kinds of promises as to what they're going to give to us. And there are many people who vote for a leader because of what that person has promised to do for them. But Jesus said to the crowd, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Well then, we see everything seems to come unglued. For Scripture tells us, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And St. John tells us, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. The crowd, you see, will follow for the bread which perishes, but many are offended by the bread of life. The crowd will praise the church while it feeds and clothes the poor, but they will reject and persecute the church, which distributes the body and blood of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. As we hear in the epistle lection appointed for today, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. What should terrify us is that those who were offended by our Lord's teaching were among those who followed him. There were many who followed him because of the bread, not on account of the word. We know this is so, for we heard at the beginning of the gospel, then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Such signs were great blessings from God, but tragically there were many who wanted only the signs, and not the Christ and his word of eternal life. In this season of repentance, examine your own heart. Why do you follow the Christ? Do you desire a bread king who will bless your fields or your job or your marriage or your health? Truly the triune God is the author of all such blessings, and any blessings which are enjoyed in this life, regardless of whether they are enjoyed by the God-fearing or the worldly, all of them come from the triune God. But the faith which the Holy Spirit works through the Word is that which prays as we hear in the collect for today, grant, we beseech the Almighty God, that we who for our evil deeds do worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of thy grace may we mercifully be relieved. The Lord is King because of who he is, and he grants all to us out of grace, not because we deserve any blessing. The Lord relieves our wants, giving us all that we have, especially the gift of salvation. The Lord died for the sins of the world. The King died for the sake of his people. What comfort is ours to know that we need never fear any lack of mercy when we put our trust in him. When the 5,000 were filled, Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Our Lord shows such concern for the passing blessings of this world. Would he do anything less with the blessings of eternal life? Certainly not. The Christ came to accomplish our redemption through his suffering and death and resurrection. He blesses the word so that it does not return to him void. He gives the forgiveness of sins to all who believe and are baptized. He gives his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. If we are rightly amazed by the rich blessings of this world, even in its fallen condition, through which the Lord provides for the needs of our bodies, even providing us with a surplus so that we may be a blessing to our neighbors, how much greater is the everlasting gospel which proclaims the bread of life and brings us to salvation? For we know that the Christ offered up his life in sacrifice for us, and in his resurrection is the hope of everlasting life to all who believe in him. He is that bread of life which gives to those who partake of it everlasting life. With God we know that every need is within his capacity to meet. If our sins frighten us, we take comfort in knowing that Christ died for the sins of the whole world, including your sins and mine. The hungry multitude had all and more than they could need. So we, when we repent, believing in Christ as our Savior, know that Christ has done all for us, making us children of promise, just as Isaac was. Jesus has freed us from bondage, having fulfilled the law perfectly. His perfect righteousness is credited to all who believe in him. The one who gives us daily bread has given to us the bread of life, even though our earthly walk takes us through the desolate places of this spiritual wilderness. We will never lack provision to strengthen our faith. Partaking of the word and sacrament, we have all that we need. Amen. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech the Almighty God, that we who for our evil deeds do worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of thy grace may mercifully be relieved. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to visit them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Sunday school is available for all ages at 9:30 a.m. During this season of Lent, we are also having midweek services on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m., which is a Vespers service. We invite you to join us this Wednesday evening. Salem is located approximately 2 miles north of Malone, off of FM 308. For more information on Salem Lutheran Church, or to learn more about this broadcast, you may contact the congregation at 533-2330. You may also visit us on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship and the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild.